How do you do? A child who grows up in fear, never knowing the joy and certainty of love, will not flourish. The woman in this story, fourth born in a family of six children, felt unloved and struggled to understand life. Her father's coldness inspired hopelessness, but hope burst forth when her heart and mind and life were unshackled. Shining the light of the world into the darkness, this is Unshackled. True life stories dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. The simplest of human necessities, like eating, sleeping, and hygiene, are complicated for homeless people. That's why Pacific Garden Mission keeps the doors open day and night, welcoming those who have no place to lay their heads or their burdens. Thanks to friends who care and send financial gifts, the mission provides a clean bunk for the night, nourishing meals, and fresh clothing to hundreds of men, women, and children each day. Medical and dental care is also given in the mission clinic to resident guests. But there's a universal hidden need to be loved and have a life purpose. So mission pastors and counselors address that need too, pointing the way out of their plight. That redemption is what this program celebrates. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3205 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
The government want me to join the army and fight, but I'm not going to do it. I don't care if they are at war with Japan. I am at war with this country. I will never forget how my first son almost died being born on the kitchen table. Why? Because that religious hospital wouldn't let your Japanese doctor come into the hospital after Pearl Harbor. And you almost died too, Juanita. No, I don't owe the government nothing. I will not fight. I go back to Mexico.
The woman in our story was born during World War II. And her father's infrequent and furtive visits brought fear that she didn't understand as a toddler. This is the story of her deliverance from fear, the true testimony of Dee Mader, right now on Unshackled.
My father returned home when the war ended. Later, he was drafted and served with the Army in New Mexico, but he remained bitter toward religion. We lived in poverty in my grandparents' small house in El Paso. I did poorly in school because we spoke only Spanish at home. But after we moved to Los Angeles when I was 9, I did well. Both my parents worked, so my oldest sister controlled us kids.
Esther, get over here and set the table. Maria, make sure those beans on the stove don't burn. Alfredo, you had better clean up all that mess before Dad gets home. Dee, put the wieners on to boil. Oh no, Dad's home early.
You kids stay out of my way, you hear? I don't want to hear no nonsense tonight. Martha, how come you don't have dinner ready?
We're working on it, Dad.
Dad ruled with an iron fist. He verbally and physically abused all of us, including Mom. I miss my grandparents so much because only they showed me any affection. Only my grandfather made me feel special. Privately, I cried a lot. And one day, my family caught me crying.
What's your problem, Dee?
I just want someone to love me. Oh, poor baby just wants to be loved.
I shut off my feelings and vowed that I would never again hurt like that. I was in middle school when Dad quit his job to work out of his garage. He refinished furniture, and every day after school, we had to help him for 3 or 4 hours, leaving little time for homework. I always felt queasy in my stomach because I knew that sooner or later, I'd do something wrong.
Look at what you made me do. Why did you put that there?
I thought you needed it next.
Don't touch anything. I'll do the thinking around here. You just do as you're told. Nothing else. I told you 100 times.
Yes, Dad?
Unwanted help is sabotage.
One day, a customer complimented Dad on his pretty daughters, and he tried to turn us into a singing group. Though we had no talent, we all wanted to please him and practiced for hours, even though he bopped us on the head for hitting the wrong note. He finally gave up. But he didn't give up on atheism, though, warning us not to be chumps. Dad didn't drink or smoke, but I snuck around a bit and smoked cigarettes. Having no control at home, I didn't drink, so I wouldn't lose control with friends. One Sunday night, I was home alone, flipping through the TV channels, and I heard an interesting speaker.
Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. My friend, sin is not only what you do or don't do. It's a condition of being separated from God because of our sin. So God sent his Son to die for your sin. Christ Jesus became a man, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. There is no fear of death when you receive Christ as Savior. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
I kept changing the channel, but going back to him. When he gave the invitation to receive Christ, I thought, it must be nice to believe like that. I was 17 the last time my father beat me. He and Mom were arguing in the kitchen, and when I came to her rescue, Dad began to slap me. I fell and he kicked me.
Get out! You don't get in our business, you hear?
Hit me again. That didn't even hurt.
Oh.
Go on, hit me again. You can't hurt me. I felt empowered as he realized he couldn't hurt me, and he walked away. When I graduated from high school, I worked in a steno pool at an engineering company. Like my siblings, I gave my paycheck to Dad, who doled out money for bus fare. If the bus was late, Dad wanted a good explanation. Once I took the wrong bus, ran home, and snuck in the house to avoid his interrogation. Peers at work were dumbfounded at Dad's control over me.
Your dad won't let you go to the party on Saturday?
No.
You gotta be kidding.
He's very strict.
But you're not in school anymore, Dee. Why should he tell you what to do?
That's how my family is. I'm used to it.
Why don't you get your own place?
I don't make enough money.
Go and see that employment counselor I told you about. He's getting us all good jobs. You won't even have to pay for it. The new employer pays the fees.
The employment counselor was Dean Mader. He was cute and had remarkable energy, and he helped me get a better job with an attorney. Sometime later, my former co-worker told me that Dean was in the hospital, so I called him.
Hello?
Is this Dean Mader?
Yes.
This is Dee. You helped me get a new job with an attorney.
Yes, Dee, I remember you. You're the pretty one.
I'm sorry to hear that you're in the hospital. What happened?
The first doctor thought I had a perforated ulcer until they cut me open and discovered that I had a ruptured appendix instead. Then they had to make a second incision.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, but I'm getting better now.
I'm glad to hear that.
How's the new job?
I like it very much. Thanks for your help.
When I'm back on my feet, will you have lunch with me?
Our first date was a football game at the Rose Bowl. A double date because Dean didn't have a car. After the game, he asked me to go out that night, but I told him I had another date, which wasn't true, but I was afraid of asking my dad to go out twice in one day. Dean and I continued to date once a week.
Dee, you don't have to drink at this place tonight. You can have a soda.
That's good.
You don't drink because your father doesn't?
That's part of it. When I was little, we kids would look for coins on the street that drunks had dropped. It was like a treasure hunt.
I'm sure it was.
One Friday evening, a drunk asked me if I'd like a dime. When I said, yes, sir, he reached in his pocket, then he grabbed me and kissed me. I can still remember the horrible smell of liquor on his breath.
My dad drank too much, so I promised my mom I would never drink like that.
You don't get to see her much, do you?
No, and I miss her a lot. Minnesota's a long way from L.A.
I miss my grandparents, too. They were so loving and kind. I fell in love with Dean because he was kind and gentle toward his mother. Occasionally, I went to church with him, but I had no interest in religion. We had been dating about 4 months when my birthday came, and Dean took me to a Chinese restaurant.
Look at your fortune cookie, Dee.
There's a diamond ring in here.
It's for you. Will you marry me?
Yes.
I'm the luckiest man in L.A.
Oh, how did you get this ring in there?
I planned ahead.
My oldest sister's getting married, too, next month.
I'd like us to be married in church, Dee.
That's fine, Dean. How about this summer? Maybe August? Give my dad a chance to get over my sister's wedding. When I announced my engagement, my father erupted in fury, even turning my mother against me. Dean said my father was acting badly because he didn't want to lose my income, something I hadn't considered. But the situation at home became so bad that I moved out. My father told me I would no longer have a family, and I was devastated. I couldn't eat or sleep.
Hello?
Dean, I have to break our engagement.
What? Dee, don't do this.
I have to, Dean. I can't eat or sleep. I can't take this anymore.
I wish you'd reconsider. Your father's just trying to control you.
I love my family. I can't lose them.
I love you, Dee. Doesn't that mean anything to you?
Oh, I love you too, Dean. But I'm going to move back home. I'll return your ring.
In a moment, we'll hear more about Dee's crisis. Unshackled is translated and dramatized in 14 languages, including Korean and Japanese. Here are excerpts from letters written by these listeners. From Korea, someone says, "Whenever I hear the various testimonies such as incurable alcoholic, drug addict, broken family transforming to new life in God, I can also feel the touch of God and would cry or laugh with them." Another person writes, "I believe the Word of God can change every mankind." This person writes, "I could feel the love of God who can reach out and love even the bummers." Listening to Unshackled, this mother writes, "My sixth grade son said, 'God is awesome.'" We agree that God is awesome to use these testimonies in so many cultures. To learn more about this ministry to Asia, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
I went into a deep depression, crying in my pillow each night because I missed Dean so much. Dean called my sister at school and asked how I was doing, and she told him I was a mess. That's all Dean needed to hear. He called me at work, and we met for lunch, where he vowed to ride the bus home with me that night to confront my father.
"Mr. Reyes, I want to marry your daughter. I love her very much, and I will be a good husband."
"Well, if you want to marry her, you'll marry her this weekend, because we are moving to Las Vegas, and she's coming with us."
"We intend to be married in church. That's not enough time to make the arrangement."
"I don't care. Take it or leave it."
"Dean, if you want to marry me, it's got to be this weekend."
"If that's the way it's got to be, then it will be this weekend."
"And if you don't take good care of her, I've got amigos that will wipe you off the face of the earth."
"Don't worry, Mr. Reyes. I'll take good care of her."
That weekend, Dean and a friend helped my family move to Las Vegas. Our justice of the peace married us that night. Dean and I went to Minnesota in August to meet his family. They held a reception for us where, following tradition, some of the girls stole my new husband and took him to a bar. I didn't see him for hours, but his family filled the time with a loving bond. Back in Los Angeles, Dean came home drunk one night, and I thought it was a one-time thing. He apologized, blaming his friend. But many nights I was left alone with dinner on the stove. Because my mother kept silent, I tried doing that. Our sons were born 2 years apart, and I poured myself into being a mother. We bought a home in Orange County.
Look at all the cars across the street. Must be a party.
They're a nice family. She came over when we moved in and introduced herself.
Well, let's walk over and I'll introduce myself.
I don't want to crash their party.
We'll just take a walk then and see what's going on.
I hear music, a piano playing.
Yeah, they're all gathered around a piano. Look.
They seem to be having a good time in there. We later learned that they had parties without alcohol, which amazed Dean because he drank every night. We had been married 5 years when our daughter was born. By then, Dean's drinking began to irritate me. One Saturday night, we were supposed to go out, but he came home late and very drunk. I waited till morning to speak.
I'm sorry about last night.
I'm tired of hearing I'm sorry. I'm tired of you coming home late, drunk out of your mind. I've had it. It's over. I can't take this anymore. I'm leaving.
Wait. I know I promised not to do it again, but you don't understand. I have so much pressure at work. I have to have a drink or two after work.
No, you don't.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll buy a home bar and drink at home. Yeah, I know that'll work, and it'll save us money, too. Hey, honey, the more I drink, the more we'll save, okay?
Dean set up the home bar and planned a trip up the Pacific Coast Highway. I was very excited as this was our first real vacation since our first son was born. My parents had moved to San Diego, so we left the children with Mom and started driving. The Pacific Coast Road twists along cliffs that drop 1,000 feet into the ocean. Suddenly, a big car skidded toward us. Totally out of control, the car hit the embankment in front of us with such force that it flew over us and landed 10 feet behind us.
I can't believe it. The car flew right over us.
We were very lucky.
I was sure he'd hit us head on. We should be dead, Dean. The rain gutter was bent by his rear bumper, that's all. It's a miracle we're alive.
I stopped in Carmel and found a motel. I was calmer than Dean about our near accident. But that night, I had a dream, and I woke up screaming.
What's wrong, honey?
There must be a God. There must be a God.
Yes, of course there's a God. Calm down.
We could have been killed today.
Don't I know it? That was a very close call. God must have protected us.
I never believed in God before, but I do now.
We'll start going to church, honey. We'll take the kids and go from now on.
We began going to a mainline church on Sunday morning, but Dean still wanted to go out dancing and drinking on Saturday night. The emptiness in my heart grew bigger. Meanwhile, we discovered on a trip to see my parents that my father was reading the Bible, saying, "It's all true."
Your father is nuts.
Why do you say that?
First, he was a fanatic about being an atheist. Now he's a fanatic about the Bible and God, but his ideas are twisted from one extreme to the other.
He's still my father.
You know what? Let's start reading the Bible ourselves so we can prove him wrong.
Okay. I'll see if I can find a Bible somewhere. Maybe the library. That was 1970. But we had a hard time finding a Bible until a neighbor gave us one. I tried to read it, but didn't have a clue where to start, and didn't understand what I read. I would go outside at night, look at the stars and say, if there is a God, could you please show me? I had a husband, a home, and children, but I also had an aching heart. Hello?
Mrs. Mater, I'm an insurance salesman, and I'd like to stop by and give you and your husband some information.
Don't think my husband is interested. Thanks anyway.
Has Dean ever lived in Minneapolis?
Quite a few years ago.
I think I knew your husband back in Minneapolis. I really would like to stop by and say hi.
Call back after I check with Dean. Dean agreed to have the man drop by, and after a few beers, the stranger got onto the subject of reincarnation. After a while, I excused myself and went to bed. I was lying there when I heard footsteps in the hall, and my bedroom door quietly opened. I could see the dark shape of that man staring at me. My heart raced in fear. Then the door closed. A few minutes later, I heard the front door slam.
Honey, who was that?
You didn't know him?
No, I didn't know him, but he seemed to know all about me. Now I can say I feel like I saw the devil.
He opened our bedroom door and stood there looking at me. If he had taken one more step, I would have screamed. He was evil looking.
Dee, let's kneel down and pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Several times in the years we had lived there, I had tried to cross the street and talk with our neighbor, who was so peaceful, and to ask what made them light up. Each time I had turned back home, afraid she was busy, afraid I would sound like a fool. But the next Monday afternoon, I went to her door.
Oh, Dee, welcome. Come on in.
Sheila, what do you have that makes you light up?
Dee? I have Jesus as my Savior and the Bible as my guide.
What religion is it?
Christianity is a relationship with God. It is God reaching down to man through his son Jesus. Religion is man reaching up to God, but he can never reach high enough. Have a seat.
Oh, I don't want to keep you.
Oh, it's okay. Let me read you some verses from the Bible. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Well, I can see you were about to leave, and I don't want to take any more of your time.
Take this tract with you and read it.
At home, I read the entire tract, which explained that there is nothing we can do to add to the work of Christ Jesus on the cross, and there is nothing we can do to take away from his work on the cross. His blood alone pays for our sin debt. Because we have all sinned, we can either pay for our own sins, and the penalty is death, eternal damnation, and separation from God, or we can accept God's sacrifice for our sins. Finally, I understood and asked Jesus to save me. I couldn't wait to tell Dean.
Hi, honey. You look happy. What is it?
I've got something to tell you. I have accepted Jesus as my Savior.
What do you think I've been trying to tell you all along?
What you've got and what I've got are two different things.
What do you mean?
I've received Christ personally as my Savior.
Well, I don't want to take it away from you.
You can't take this away from me. Nobody can. The children and I began going to church with our neighbor. Dean stayed home because he didn't want to go to church alone, and he certainly didn't want to go with us. Sometimes I tried reading the Bible to him as we lay in bed. In the beginning was the Word, And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Dean, how can anyone fall asleep that fast?
Don't be discouraged, Dean.
I try reading the Bible to him, but he falls asleep instantly.
The enemy of our soul will always try to steal God's word from us.
We seem to have less and less in common. I don't like going out dancing like we used to. I feel so out of place.
That's why God tells us not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? But the Bible says the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. So stay with him, Dee.
I will. I try not to nag him about his drinking, even though he comes home at 3 a.m. Dean stayed out so late, so often, it seemed that he didn't want to come home. In the morning, I would get up and fix his breakfast and be as loving as God's grace would allow. But at night, I lay in bed alone, crying and asking God, is this the way I have to live the rest of my life?
Next week, we'll hear the conclusion of this couple's testimony. Listening friend, addiction is difficult to overcome on your own. Jesus said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Whatever you are facing, whatever obstacle, know this, the Lord will help you. The words God spoke to Joshua are still true today. God said, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Turn to the living God and receive new life. The Bible promises that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you need help in making this life-changing decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. This is program number 3205. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Hearing from you means more than you know, so please write. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.